Alrighty, it is January 23rd, Saturday, 7:30 a.m. I am en route to do a bunch of errands today. It is a Saturday. I've got things to buy, things to return. I have a some kind of a warning light on my dashboard. I want to get that turned off, so I'll stop at the dealership. But this is a spiritual update. So what what can I say? All right, it's been quite a ride, quite a ride. I don't really have the presence of mind to summarize much. What is the latest? Well, last night, I continue every night to ask for God's guidance and wisdom and discernment and protection, at least to keep my body going, you know? I mean, at least to keep my mind sane and my body here and not, you know, falling into this decay spiral of my circulatory system, which I am definitely quite a ways into. What a succubus does, it anchors in your heart, and that is a negative vibration that is sent throughout the body, and in particular, you're everywhere the blood goes, and that's everywhere, right? And so, you know, I've got these numerous little spider veins, larger varicose-looking veins, and many of the things that many of the these capillary systems or veins near my skin, at least like in my thighs, are now bleeding out a bit during the day. So if I'm standing or exercising, but normally if I'm standing, I think, as we do when we're doing all day long this virtual instruction, which is grueling. Grueling in the sense that you don't have real energy from human beings to support you. You are bonding, you are mating, really, with these computers. Because that's all it is a digital representation of the students. And I'm not buoyed at all, man. It's exhausting. So we're there, we're stationary and looking at, you know, artificial lights and artificial, you know, these imitations of human beings that are on the screen. But so I'm getting this bleeding out effect in my thighs, and every night, all night long, my heart's under this foreign control. And at best, I can get it to diminish a bit, quite a bit, but it's still there. It's still a negative resonance or negative discordance that, it slowly wears away at you. And in the last couple of days, last few days, I have felt, I believe, a small pain in my heart. That's from her being there so long that it's like a weakening. I hope not, but it might be the case that there is like this, maybe she's broken through a layer or compromised a layer of my heart's functioning. I would hope not. I don't know. I'm worried about that. I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday was brutal. Around 11:30 in the morning, I had maybe at least 20 seconds or so of a sustained, massive etheric stimulation of my solar plexus, where my nerves were rippling, just rippling like a storm howling in my gut, combined with an extreme attack on my heart. And I'm not sure how this is accomplished, but she does it. You know what it is, you know. Don't put I wouldn't put anything past a succubus, really. You know, she is God Junior, you know, Goddess. you know, she's an approximation of Kundalini and can do a whole lot that Kundalini can, except maybe it's inverse. And so my heart was fluttering. What it does is when it's hit with this massive... Bless me. When it's hit with this massive influx meant to cause a heart attack, rather than do strong beats, which it does do also sometimes, but maybe under less pressure, and she's gotten beats up to maybe 120 in me with strong, hard beats. But when it's like this, my heart, you know, if you think of like martial arts, to deflect it, it like slices it up into what might have been, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 beats a second, but they were flutters. So just like, you know, almost like a rapid purring to deflect the blow and to save my heart. And, but I had never been attacked in my solar plexus with this length of time of heart fluttering. She put everything into it. She meant to kill me. For whatever reason, I don't know if killing the physical vehicle of the guy who rejected her and actually, I guess, just, I believe, destroyed her astral body, because it did not belong in me. I was not ready for it. But, does, you know, getting my scalp spiritually like that, causing my body to die, does it somehow allow her to reconstitute her astral body? Does she consume my spirit in some way? I mean, she's so dead set on it, you know, and I mean, has God, I mean, God's laid out all these karmic paths of you know, action and response, behavior, consequence. It's all laid out there. And so, what does my physical death do for her? Well, it does liberate her, this core of her identity that's in me. That I think there are times, I don't think she can comfortably move on to another mate. I don't think she can really do that. She could, except there's consequences. I think when she does that, it dilutes her connection to me, and God then will somehow allow me to get rid of her. And somehow that's definitely not what she wants. She wants to be released from me on her terms, which means me croaking. But, and so it was that, I mean, of course I was just shell-shocked. One second, I'm gonna blow my nose. I had a slice of pizza last night, and this is what you get from a bunch of low-quality pasteurized cheese. You get mucus. All right. One sec. Wow, I gotta plug in my power. This battery has seen better days. This is an 11-year-old iPod. So, hang, bear with me. Okay, is it gonna still record? Yeah. All right. So that night, and the next day, and the next day, the night of the next day for the most part, I felt more free than I felt in a few months or so. And what it was there was a shutting down of her presence within me. And I didn't know what that was. I thought, okay, did she blow her wad and failed to demonstrate the right to kill me, because she put everything she had into it, and here I am. And I was actually getting kind of confident that, or hopeful, that, hey, look, God's determined that I am not to die, at least not today. And too bad for you. And somehow you got to reconcile with that. And I don't know what that means. And I was thinking, oh, maybe, I don't know, if we're stuck with each other, perhaps have a kid. Although I don't trust her, you know. If I have an aging mother living nearby that I'm wanting to help, and I just don't think I trust this girl to be around me sleeping, or my mom, you know, unable to defend herself from like a pillow, you know, placed over her face by an evil girl. I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's capable of that, I'm sure, but I don't really, you know. A girl like this holds life and death in her hands, just like the Holy Spirit does. So it's, and given that I've harmed her so much, I don't think there's any coming back from it. I just think that we need a separation on every level. And it may very well mean that I gotta die, or I'm gonna die sooner rather than later. Which is a very likely outcome. Sad to say. You know, I'm coming up on 2 years, and it has been just beyond brutal. But that night, I was kind of getting optimistic because, wow, I can barely sense her. Well, not barely, but very tiny control. Maybe not even. Maybe she was ignoring me, just went to bed and didn't. I think she just didn't pay attention to me for that night, and then the next night, very light control of my heart. But what it was God was dampening. I could barely hear God in terms of that K, the Kundalini sound, the you call it the singing of the Holy Spirit in my ears, and it was only like dim, very, very, very dim in my right ear. And so that's not a sign of like holistic integrity. That's a sign of like God is putting a stop or a limit on everything. And so I don't know if that's God hitting the panic button, you know, to save my ass for a time, or sending her a message of some sort. But it is my belief that I may have been near death. There was an attempt on my life. And the response was to put a kibosh on this whole etheric, not to put a kibosh, dampen this etheric connection between us. And so it was maybe the next night, and the night after that, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursday night. I lied in bed and I cried because I was thinking, you know what? I have, you know, here I am thinking of, oh, maybe I'm going to fast right now while I'm working to try to expel this presence. And honestly, I had nothing but time on my hands, very little to no work responsibilities in late June of 2020. There I was living in my rental. On a very beautiful property, and about as much peace and quiet as I could expect. And even then, I did not. I mean, it was more than I could handle. Or at least just about more than I can handle. Yes, I backed out, but I might have been able to push all the way through. I just didn't know if I'd have a heart attack. But even with nothing distracting me, I could barely handle the spiritual test, the fire of passage, whatever you want to call it, to get rid of her through fasting. And for me to think that I could pull that off amidst the insane work requirements that I currently have. I'm working well over twice as hard as I've worked in many years. And it's because I'm a slave to like three different teachers trying to work on, I'm an inclusion special ed teacher. And I don't like it because I don't have control over my curriculum, my time, my responsibilities. Everything changes like on a daily basis based on the whims and of these people. Two of them are OCD workaholics, and one of those two is, I would say, outright evil. Pretty evil. She enjoys crushing, humiliating, demeaning, diminishing others, especially, you know, she's Japanese primarily, but you know, not, she's got Japanese mix. He's Japanese and some Polynesian maybe in there, maybe a little Caucasian, but mostly Japanese. And she doesn't. She's racist and sexist. You know, I am tarred and feathered on a regular basis in there, and I'm strong enough to handle it in many ways, but it's been exhausting, and it is. And she also does everything she can to put me in a negative light with the families that I work with and my administration. She is a conniving, mean, but also very skilled at, well, she controls through fear and intimidation with the kids, but she is a very skilled teacher. But anyways, look, it's not my background. This is not my thing, working with, you know, really smart, you know, fairly smart kids, teaching whole, you know, regular kids, these more advanced curriculum than I've ever dealt with. I'm used to dealing with, you know, pretty darn handicapped kids. And so that, with just the work ethic, and you know, I'm getting emails and texts at 5 a.m., 11 p.m., I mean, it is endless, and my weekends are consumed with just trying to keep up with the paperwork. And so this is not the environment or the job for getting rid of an etheric predator, really, or this a spiritual lesion, a subtle lesion that is hooked into a very, very deep, profound level of my being. And I don't know if I've got another 5 or 6 months in me, actually. There have been some very low moments in the last few weeks. But, so what I was thinking this last couple of nights ago was, all right, God, you, back in October or something of 2019, you offered to me to close down this portal, I think, for lack of a better word, to close down Amrit Nadi. I had opened it that night back in 1994. The Holy Spirit opened up my body to heightened development, which meant being a vehicle for God in the flesh. Oh yeah, in the flesh, with all the responsibilities and joy. Well, joy is like way too coarse a word for it, but all the subtle emancipatory evolution completing feelings and realizations. But it also then, you know, opened me up to all sorts of sensitivities and liabilities, and so, you know, as my goal back in 85, when this all, fall of 85, my goal with this, the awakening of this energy in me, of the Holy Spirit, Kundalini, was to have everything that I experience, everything that, every challenge, every whatever would be rooted and expressed, rooted in and expressed through my day-to-day living activities. I did not want to be in a cave. I did not want to have to be removed from society. I wanted to be living a functional life where I was not dependent on others, where I was a contributor, a regular person, because honestly, that is, I mean, if this mode, God-man, is to become universal, oh, good luck with that. You need to have an extraordinary society, you know, full of faith and confidence and courage and freedom and risk-taking and honesty and compassion and caring and holistic envisioning. I mean, so many things. Big picture, small picture, everything all at once. And we are, like, so not there. But if this condition would become universal, then, hey, everyone can't be in a cave, right? We need children. A God-man needs to have offspring, you know? And a God-man needs to have a wife, a partner, who is worthy of him. And I found a couple of them, I believe. I'm romantic in the sense that even if I'm wrong, I would like to believe that God did not create a woman to be purely evil, you know. I don't buy that. There's no need for that. It doesn't make sense. But for them to be kind of functionally built to tap into a man's life force to feed them as their source, well, then that explains a whole lot with my mother's behavior, with these two very powerful women's behavior that I've seen. Yeah, then I can definitely see how important a man is to them. And that God can create that as sort of a dependency, but also a supportive relationship as well. And there's mutual benefits, and it creates offspring, and everything that a man can experience with the Holy Spirit can be shared subtly, directly with your female partner. It is possible, which is unbelievable, but it's true. So I'm blathering, but what I'm getting back at is God offered to shut it all down to me and I think that was a serious offer. And I think God knows that, dude, you are up against it, and there's a good chance you're not going to measure up, that you're going to succumb to this negative etheric poison, or, you know, it's redundant, this etheric poison, and you may very well want to step out of all of this and try this again next life. And I cry. What did I do? I basically said in no uncertain terms, no, I'd rather die than not have you in my life, God. But now, after like another year, a year and a quarter, another 15 months, I've kind of like, I've seen how I've attempted to escape, and here I am. I'm still caught in this vicious undercurrent. And I may not be able to escape. And I'm seeing the decay. Well, I'm seeing my aging. I'm aging like a motherfucker. My hair is going gray. My skin is losing its elasticity. I look like shit, and I feel like shit much of the time. And I don't sleep well. And on top of it all, I have something in me trying to kill me directly, rapidly, and my circulatory system is breaking down. And so I no longer feel that willing or confident that I can kind of hedge my bets and say, hey, you know what? I think I can break free from her in the next 6 months, because I'm not confident that I can do that. God has created or set an extremely high bar for evicting a succubus. You know, I'm in God's eyes, in many ways, a spiritual fuck-up. And this is what you get. You deny God. You invite your spiritual equal to share your body with you. And then you kick her out. And then you fail to take my offering of, you know, of the full conduction of God in your body, then you, dude, you have lost the mandate of heaven. You have lost the moral high ground. You are forsaken. Now that's like the rules. That's the rules, right? Those are the rules. And they are what they are. But, you know, there is such a thing as omnipotence and grace and compassion or redemption. But it's much more complicated when you have fucked over another person. When you have so directly involved another person's karma, oh man, that burden is like, it is not readily discharged, I will tell you. And so, yeah, I'm not confident. And so I'm kind of, three nights ago, I was crying a little bit. I had tears, real tears. Most tears I've had in a while, and I was contracting my pectoral muscles against my heart, against my chest, to just sort of ward off this energy in me, try to let God know that I'm crying and I don't want this thing in me, and I'm willing to give up my own spiritual relationship to God, because what comes first? My job, my body, all right? I'm sorry. If I can't have my body and my job, then I have no foundation for spirit. I don't. Look, I don't have an ashram. I don't have 20 people, you know, sitting at my feet, you know, sucking on my toes and wiping my ass. I don't want that. That's not a path that is reproducible. That's not a path for the common man. That I would like the common man to be the God man. I mean, that's the whole point of my life, is to show that it's possible. And man, It is, if this world were more supportive, if we didn't have EMF and other things that are really holding us back. But yeah, I was trying to send a message to God that, God, I'm willing to close the window of my soul to you. And I cried, because you know what? I mean, I could cry right now. I'm not gonna try to. My eyes are watering a bit, but you know what? Look, I've had a good run. From 1994 till 2021, I had an active connection to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was giving me a chance. You know, hey brah, you can try, give it a go. You know, I'm an equal opportunity employer. You're a healthy, caring, honest person with quite an emotional punch, who had as good a chance to be my vessel on the planet as anybody. So let's try it out. And I tried it out, and I'm done. I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. I don't want it anymore, because I can't handle it. I'm no longer able, my body can't sustain the challenges that I'm facing. And it's been my job is way too challenging. I've had to leave my work in California, move very far away, away from my mom, away from a much higher income, you know, and I just can't. One second. I can no longer ground this path. I can no longer follow this path without destroying my work and my body. And that, again, was my promise, my mindset, my goal, was this whole thing was supposed to be achieved through a regular life. I could write about it. And if at some point I had like real God-man qualities, well, I wouldn't be, you know, trying to create a TV show or something. I'd just be living my normal life, and you know, maybe people start to recognize, wow, you know, there is something really special. What's going on with that person? I mean, I'd be like an inherent trigger for people, but I wouldn't be seeking out any attention. It would just come to me spontaneously, and I would be independent of it in the sense that I would not need anyone's, you know, support or recognition, because I had my own life. You know, I wouldn't have my apostles or whatever. You know, I don't want apostles. People get dependent on a spiritual presence that they don't believe is inherent or possible for themselves. I don't know. I have a real problem with you know, the supposed lineage business. Although I know that's how Zen and many yogic traditions, you know, it's all through their masters and disciples, blah, blah, blah. Not my thing. Not what I wanted to do. I wanted to show a different way. Using my gift at writing as, you know, to reveal more than is normally revealed, and to capture that and to be able to reproduce that. But, you know, in a written form that wouldn't be tied to my person. But anyways, so I'm open to God shutting this all down, and then I don't know what's going on right now. I have no fucking idea. I'm going to continue to... I'm not really insistent on this. On breaking God's connection to me. If that's the only way to save my body, then good. I think I'm going to do... I want it. But if... I don't know. If God's going to have a last minute save of me somehow. You know? I don't know how that would play out. Because, like, right now, she's the succubus. Let me just tell you something. This is a short aside. Middle of the night, 3 a.m., 20 minutes of false stimulation to my esophagus, upper stomach area, for hunger. It's a fake hunger. I know real hunger, and this is not real hunger, but to make me want to eat. And then after that, right after that, going straight into my right knee. And I know it's crazy, because I would never think, okay, since when is the knee an endocrine gland? Since when has the knee been described as a major nexus of spiritual functioning? You know? It's not. But you gotta think like a succubus. It's a wad of energy that seems to grow in you. You know, if I were able to fly around like I did, I'd be able to disrupt her. I mean, she quite a bit more than I have. I would love to be able to, you know, fly to India, fly, you know, it's like 12,000 miles away from her, or fly to Australia again. If they didn't have all this COVID bullshit going on, then I'd be able to do that. But I don't have the money or the time for it, but I'd be able to disrupt the etheric gathering storm in me. Because whenever you fly somewhere like I did, it totally weakens the spiritual connection that she has, a succubus has to you. And that heart anchor is there, but it's much weakened. And then this whole manifesting or gathering of subtle energies in you, using your heart, your own body against you, it takes some months to power up again. And now, after being where I am for the past 1 year, she's gotten uncomfortably, unwieldy strong in me. It's a problem. It's a real fucking problem. It's not weak like it was back in January. It's gotten worse. And so she's at this wad of energy. You know, maybe it's a softball. You know, maybe consider like a fist or two of just this negative stuff, and it can go plant itself wherever it wants to in the body. It's like a black wind that surrounds you. I'm not sure. I don't see auras. But I would assume this is like some etheric cloak that that gathers more density around the male aspirant. And the longer you're the longer you're in a particular location. So, anyways, right after my hunger is being falsely stimulated, it goes straight into my knee. And my knee right now, it also is hurting. Never in my life have I ever felt pain in my knee like this. Just spontaneous. Right knee. I mean, I'm having hiking much. And I don't have gout. And I don't have a right knee issue. And here's what I want to say. And this is what's crazy. Well, why? Why would a girl want to blow out your knee? Well, she wants you to be a fat invalid, okay? She knows that hiking is my sadhana. She knows that aerobic activity has been used by Kundalini herself, by the Holy Spirit herself, to accentuate my spiritual immune system functioning. And so, I'm not joking. I mean, if this gets a whole lot worse, I don't know what really happens. It hurts like now. I need to straighten it out. I need to shut up right now so I can shake my knee while I'm driving. I'm in this subcompact car. You know, cheap car. Die on the road, but it gets good gas mileage. But it's new. It's a cute little thing. But I never in my life would I think that, you know, there'd be a spiritual contest in my fucking right knee. And it is. And it is. And this is the advanced warfare for a really hateful girl. And I will tell you guys, you know that. Men, you know this already, but there is nothing that a vengeful girl would not do. You know, men are full of bloodlust as well. You know, it's just... It is what it is. All is fair in love and war, right? And so my knee is definitely in the crosshairs. And I need to shake it to disturb the etheric fucking attack on it right now. And if I shake it, it goes away for a while. The best way to really do it is just stop the car, pull over, and extend my right knee, my right leg backwards, and then shake it vigorously. And then I'm good for another half hour or so. And it's only when she wants to focus on it. My knee was fine until right after, you know, until shortly after the etheric attack on my esophagus. Anyways, I'm getting burned out from this talk. Don't want to talk anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm 20 pounds overweight. Over the hill. Spiritual has been. I don't know if God's going to throw me a Hail Mary pass or if I'm going to, you know, be able to post some like post-succubus inhabitation memoir, reflection on my website. I don't know what's in my future, but my body is breaking down. and it's not a joke. And I don't know if if God's offered me to offer to shut off my connection to the Holy Spirit, which also kicks her out, but it bars me from realization. I'm sure I'm going to be miserable. I mean, I'll feel really bad. I mean, maybe that's why God's not doing it. I don't think I'll be suicidal. I have enough of a reason to live to without God. You know, I'll be able to just cry the blues for the rest of my life. But maybe it won't be that easy. You know, maybe it'll be such a deep level of loss that I'm not going to want it. I don't know. I mean, it could be that bad because it's been a constant buoy to me since 1985. It would be a real hardship to not feel that God was with me. But again, if this is what it's going to take to keep my heart and circulatory system and body from breaking down, and for me to keep the mental and emotional stability and force that I need to keep to maintain my job for another 15 years, which I need to do because teachers don't make much money, and I like organic foods and, you know, high quality footwear, and I'm trying to save for a house, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not able to retire anytime soon. So I need to be strong and fit for my work. So I'm begging for God to cut me off. But I'm not begging that hard. I'm just telling God, God, I'm willing to lose you in order to lose her. And I'm trying to send a signal that, hey, if you feel if there's another way to solve this problem, let me know. So, I'm hoping for the best, but kind of mentally, I've been mentally preparing for the worst. I've been feeling more hopeless more hopeless than tired and frustrated than I have felt maybe in the whole of this interaction. You know, it began new and strong, and it was like, wow, I'm trying to fight this off, I'm flying around, see if I can't solve my problem somehow. And I'm nearly 2 years into this, and I'm exhausted. I can only hope that there's, you know, part of me hopes that she kills herself. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because the fact that she's anchored in my life like this, it gives her too much of a sense of connection and hope to, as long as I'm alive and she's in me, she ain't going anywhere. She's going to keep on harming me. It's like, I just think it feeds her too much. But maybe not. Maybe I've been hoping for some kind of a karmic blowback to her, or that her craving another man would be so great that she would just start fucking someone else, which would unravel her rights to me, which is what it is. God has, I think, told her. I don't think she's with another guy. I don't think she can be and yet keep her lock on me. I think that's the bargain, the rule that God has set up with her. In order to kill me, she must be faithful to me, and faithful in all of its devilish implications. Alright, that's it for now. I'm going to sign off. You have a good day, people. Best of luck to you in finding meaning and in this world, and trying to fight these major forces of negation and darkness that are present in the world. This world is truly a proving ground for the spirit. I didn't know that or think that there would be such a need for such a monolithic satanic presence here. in order to chasten us, in order to show us that we must be improve ourselves. I guess it's, and to seek God. But I guess that's why Satan is so strong here, is because that's what it takes to turn people to God. But with so much darkness here, it does run the risk of just destroying a lot of people. You know, for every 100 people that fall to depression and disillusionment and compromise, or maybe every 10,000, you know, you get one person who sees the light, so to speak. I don't like those odds. I don't like that ratio. But it's there for a reason. Over and out.